I am Roberta Schultz. When I read Thoreau years ago, he seemed full of youth and rebellion, going off on what I assumed were utopian missions to the woods, to throw off the yoke of heavy government. It was the late 1960s and early 70s, after all, a time when pop songs commandeered the words to the Declaration of Independence, and Michael Nesmith penned hit songs about marching to different drums. Thoreau seemed like my kind of guy, a romantic in a cabin, getting back to nature while writing about his experiences. I have to admit that I have a kind of altar to him right now on my dresser, a box set of his famous works that I dust as often as I dust the ceramic treasures and odd collections of curio boxes that have found their way into my life over the years. How disappointed Thoreau would be at my sad, dusty display of artifacts. In a new work from University Press of Kentucky, The Political Thought of Henry David Thoreau, Privatism and the Practice of Philosophy, by NKU Professor Jonathan McKenzie, the reader discovers a Thoreau who went to the woods not only to suck the marrow out of life, but to leave behind the political and social distractions that would keep him from being his truest self. McKenzie posits that Thoreau was perfecting and practicing his own brand of philosophy that borrowed from ancient thinkers like Socrates, and especially from the Stoics, like Epictetus. While living at Walden Pond from 1845 to 1847, Thoreau adopts the Roman Stoic position of identifying the boundaries of personal freedom via a series of practical exercises in evaluating life. And according to McKenzie, Thoreau's writing helps him codify those practices into a philosophy of privatism, which he eventually teaches through his later works, thus becoming a sage for that brand of thinking. While developing his authentic self, Thoreau identifies external forces that would prevent his process as false necessities, again borrowing from the Stoic notion of externals. These barriers to selfhood included fashion, elegant food, news, politics, and base friendships, all the tempting complications of living in 19th century America. Both Thoreau and Epictetus developed a Socratic philosophy of freedom, called psychophysical holism by some philosophers, that promotes a structured self oriented on its capacity to withstand temptation. That concept of freedom is summed up by the Stoics in this way. He is free who lives as he wills, who is subject neither to compulsion, nor hindrance, nor force, whose choices are unhampered, whose desires attain their end, whose aversions do not fall into what they should avoid. McKenzie points out that Thoreau was not alone in his rejection of the 19th century's false necessities. While he was attempting to build a cabin and carry on an existential investigation of a non-desperate life, many reform movements embraced agrarian ideals and the dignity of the individual life through utopian communities. Most of these communities, like Brook Farm in Roxbury, Massachusetts, and the fruit lands near Concord, arose out of the alienation of industrialism, specifically the transition of the self-reliant laborer into the specific cog of the worker. While many of these reform movements failed because of their economic and political natures, Thoreau rejected the communitarian cure for desperation, espousing instead an individual experiment that could remain free from externals, like mass democratic politics, which the author points out is all about externals. McKenzie goes on to examine Thoreau's political views in a chapter about wildness. This is probably the concept that labels Thoreau as an anarchist. While McKenzie proposes that Thoreau was actually rethinking politics to carve out a new space for a new type of engaged citizen, one who is truly in touch with his nature. Thoreau offers two critiques of politics as it existed in the 19th century. One, politics is not vitalizing, nor does it produce or sustain joy. Two, politics degrades human beings. In Thoreau's early writings, he identifies this major problem for the political life. Politics dissolves the self's trust in itself and represents the inability to allow truth to dictate life's commitments. Yet Thoreau's radical, individualist political philosophy was often fundamentally at odds with his intermittent participation in the anti-slavery movement. Mackenzie discusses this internal conflict in the chapter entitled, How to Mind Your Own Business. Thoreau's philosophy spells out that an individual must act out of moral conscience against those issues that come close to his life. It follows that a Stoic, who values individual freedom from externals, would not be able to live with the idea of another human's enslavement. In this season of politics, news cycles, reality television, and social media, I think it's time to simplify my life, take a saunter into the woods, dust off my Thoreau shrine, and get back to the real work of writing my true self into existence. You can join me if you dare. You can find a link to Jonathan Mackenzie's The Political Thought of Henry David Thoreau, Privatism and the Practice of Philosophy, at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I am Roberta Schultz.